Hello and welcome to the current message series of our pastor, Dr. David Hamilton from West Heights Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi, where our mission is to love God and to serve people. Now, let's listen into this week's message.
If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 21. We have been on a journey for almost a year, actually not quite, but been making our way through the book of Acts. The history of the church, the beginning days of those early followers of Christ, helps us know where we're coming from today and also gives us the model of how church is to be done, not only in the first century, but in the 21st century as well. And we are moving toward the conclusion, just a few more weeks in the book of Acts. I hope I hadn't bored you too bad through it. But it has been refreshing to me as I've had opportunity to study it again and go through it verse by verse. Now, we're not doing verse by verse. Today, we're going to cover chapter 21. Our text is going to be verses 1 through 14, and then we're going to talk about some of the other verses. But we're going to be looking more at the overall picture of chapter 21 today. But let me begin reading in verse 1. And I want you to think today on the subject of courageous discipleship. We like to honor people of courage, don't we? If someone does something in battle, they might get a medal of honor to recognize their courage. There's probably some people in this building that have been honored, maybe in the military, for your courage. Well, we're living in a day when the popular Christianity would be, I guess, described as cultural Christianity, doesn't really demand much out of us, but it's not the kind of Christianity we see in the Bible. God calls for not arrogance, but courage today to take a stand even when it is not popular. Even though the stand we are called on as believers to take many times, if not most of the time, is not politically correct. But as we look at God's Word, we see, I think, in Paul, a picture of true courage. Let me begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, when we had departed from them and set sail," and the "them" goes back to chapter 20, when they had left Ephesus. He said, "It came to pass, when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos the following day, to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. And when we had come to the end of those days, we departed." Let me just, Luke, the physician, Dr. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, also wrote the book of Acts. He is now with Paul. He's been with Paul quite some time. And when he uses that word "we," he is using it as first person. He said, "I was there. I was with Paul. I was with them when all of this happened." And he said, "When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven and had stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. And we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound it his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' And now when he had heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "What do you mean, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And so when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And God, could that be our prayer today, the will of the Lord be done? Lord, the will of your will be done in our church collectively. Your will be done in our lives individually. So Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love, for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for the gift of prayer that we can pray. And God, that we can call upon you. And God, we do need to be men and women and young people of courage today. Lord, to stand even when it's not popular to stand for Jesus. So Lord, use this time for your glory. And if there's one here today that's lost, and we pray that today will be the day of salvation. So Lord, use this time for your own glory. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as we think on the subject of courage, let me remind the men, I did not mention this earlier, take a break from the sermon a moment. Saturday, our men's prayer time at 7 o'clock. All men and boys are invited to come and be a part of that Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Well, in this day of cultural Christianity, we do need courageous followers of Christ. But how do you describe courage? I mean, when you hear that word courage, what are the thoughts? You don't have to answer out loud, but just answer in your mind. When you hear the word courage, what are the thoughts that come to your mind? Do you think of men and women who have been in the military and maybe they were in the heat of battle and they saved people's lives and they got out, they received that Medal of Honor, that badge of courage, and we recognize and say, well, that was courageous. That was an individual who had great courage. Or do we think of courage, maybe even in a more personal way for most of us? Would we say that courage would be a young person that goes to school and maybe people are mocking the name of Christ and this young person would courageously, not arrogantly and not rudely, but would courageously say, "I'm a Christian. I don't do that. Christ is my Savior. He died for me. I don't mock him." Or maybe a man or a woman at work and the other employees, they're doing things that are unethical and unright, and they try to pull you into that. And you say, "No, as a follower of Christ and convictions that I have because of Christ, I can't go along with that." I'd say that's courageous. And probably we see courage exercised more on a daily basis than we realize that we do. Courage is the choice to move forward despite the danger. And so basically the sermon today asks a question. And this is the question. Don't you want to be a courageous disciple of Jesus Christ? Don't you want to stand for Him? Don't you want to follow Him forward despite the risk? Church history is full of courageous disciples. We could go back and in biblical times, and we know of those early followers of Christ. Many of them were killed for their faith. I think of earlier, later Christians who took stands for Christ. Many of them were burned at the stake, or they were killed for their faith. I think even of our brothers and sisters today, some in other parts of the world, that there were more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than all the previous centuries put together, and there doesn't seem to be any letting up. But I think of those courageous men and women and children many times in some of our other countries that are being killed for their faith, and they're boldly declaring the name of Christ. I'd say that's pretty courageous. Well, what is courage? It's taking a risk. It's going forward despite the danger. And again, church history is full of courageous disciples, but there never was a more courageous disciple of Christ than the Apostle Paul. And by the time we get to the end of, or get to the book of Acts and our chapter 21 in the life of Paul, he has been following Jesus and preaching the gospel now for some 20 years. In that time, he has been threatened, arrested, stoned, and left for dead. But despite of that danger, Paul continued moving forward, preaching the gospel and making disciples. And now Paul's headed up to Jerusalem for this purpose. He wants to go to Jerusalem. He's taken up an offering, and we do that. We still take offerings, and many times they go to most of the offerings we take on Sunday. We use in our church, we use for missions, and a number of times we have benevolence, we help people in need. But Paul knew there were some poor Christians in Jerusalem, and he, in this trip, had been taking up an offering. It would have been called a love offering, and he wants to deliver it to them to aid the poor Jewish Christians there. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that even more danger lies ahead. So we have to ask the question, what will this courageous disciple of Jesus Christ do? The others have said, Paul, you've done enough. We don't want you to go to Jerusalem. We want you to stay here. We want you to stay safe. If you go to Jerusalem, surely you will be killed. Paul said, why are you breaking?